Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What's New with VHUs. I'm your host, Venus Henderson Hughes. In the studio, we have Chris and Regina. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Today's topic is about public health hot topics, and I have been, of course, always watching the news, and it's very disappointing. It's truly disappointing to see what's going on in the news, which that's one of the reasons why I don't really watch the news. But some things are really hitting home in the public health arena, such as the cuts with the public health corps. And for those of you who don't know what the public health corps are, the public health corps are an organization that goes out to different disaster areas to help give out medical care and treatment for people in those affected areas, whether that be here at home or abroad. So imagine, of course, everything that had happened with all the natural disasters recently. Well, these individuals go out and they help with this. And they're funded, of course, through the military. So now there is this big cut coming their way where they're going to lose some funding. And I'm not sure at the moment whether or not they're looking to sort of change them from just being funded through the military or to cut them completely where they won't receive any funding and they just have to deal with whatever people that they have. My question to you guys is, one, I think my biggest question was, okay, why? Why all of a sudden the reason for this cut? But also, how do you think that's going to affect us here at home?
It's going to give us, black eye on our response to outbreaks and other crises that fall in our country. And I say black eye on the fact that because we are the proposals to dwindle down the health corps from, what was it, over 6,500 officers to less than 4,000 officers.
That's a huge cut.
Yeah. You know, so that means you don't have that many boots on the ground to take care of areas as you did before.
So, Gina, do you have anything?
Yes, the cut is going to be a very hard thing to handle since we probably need more people to still survey those areas and help with the disaster and victims that might have been hurt in the wreckage. And with the cut being...
That's a drastic cut, though, you know? That is a huge drastic cut. And then my question, I'm sorry, Gina, I didn't mean to cut you off, but when I think about such a cut, are they going to outsource, and I hate to use the word outsource, but are they going to select other parts of, you know, maybe the military, since the military has medical personnel? Like, are they going to sort of put in people in place to sort of cover those people, or we're just going to deal with these 4,000 people and let the chips fall where they may?
It sounds like they might be just dealing with the 4,000 people because to redirect, I presume because to redirect standard personnel that wasn't in that group, to be putting them in that group, still will cost money, which I presume one of the reasons why they cut it in the first place is to save money. But then here it is, you know, conservative rhetoric has always been about saving, conserving, getting the deficit down, but yet our president, or the president, has jacked up the deficit to trillions of dollars. And in that, well, some things for those that follow by him, good things have happened, or the provision that they wanted has happened. On the bad side of things, you know, you have things like this happening, where you have the health corps being diminished to 4,000 people. As Gene was saying, you don't have the capacity to get, you're right, the manpower to get people out to particular areas fast enough, or the manpower to take care of those areas, depending upon what the situation is.
You know, when I think about the fact that we're losing such a huge amount of people that are not only these people, they decide to go into the public health corps. So this is not something where they're drafted into it like the military. They choose to go into it. You have these people who are going out there working on the front lines, who want to be able to be a help not only to their own country, but to various other countries around the world, and helping people get healthy. For, you know, and I'm talking diet and exercise. I'm talking about when they're battling things like yellow fever and cholera and things like that. So these are those guys who are making sure, one, that those other countries are healthy, but also sending back information so that we, too, the United States, can remain healthy.
You're right, so when bulk of our knowledge on...
exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So these are the guys that were out there when Ebola first came out. They were out there on the front lines. And when we look at all of this, and especially with all of the craftiness that is going on with chemical warfare, something like a loss of the public health corps can truly affect us tremendously, especially because our enemies are getting more crafty. Our enemies are getting more crafty, not only just computer crafty, but they're also getting chemically crafty. And so to lose a big bulk, if I was at over 2,000 people, that's not good. That's not good at all. And join the conversation. Give us a call. Area code 516-453-9934. I think I'm more passionate, especially passionate about the whole public health corps because, of course, I am a public health person. And to know and to speak with pretty much on a daily basis via computer people who are in the public health corps and people who want to join the public health corps, and the fact that this cut was so instantaneous. It was 1 minute, everything was good. They made the announcement the very next day on their website. It said, we are not taking any applications. That's how instantaneous this thing was. And that's sad. That's really sad because there is a need for that. You know, Puerto Rico is still in need.
Yes.
You know, they still need people over there. They still need health care, you know, health people with health officials over there.
Right, water, electricity, they need to be built back. And slowly and surely, I believe it will happen. But unfortunately, it seems that the current administration doesn't really want to press the issue of trying to get them back to livable means. They're basically on their own to try to figure things out or have people volunteer their services to them.
That's, you know, again, it's a sad situation, but, you know, I guess we will have to make do with what we will have at that moment. My thing is, if we are cut now from 4,000, wow, then there's nothing stopping them from cutting us down again.
That's a possibility, unfortunately.
And as everything continues to keep getting cut down, then the whole process, if you will, may happen where we're going to have this limited core, and then disease can run rampant, if you will, because there's no one on the front lines to sort of treat those people who are in need to be treated and can possibly affect quite a few people. And especially if you don't have that barrier of that person that gets on that plane, it goes to Great Britain or Canada or even the United States. So that's a bit much, but, you know.
Well, you know, I've been trying to play, trying to listen to both sides of the situation. This is, unfortunately, for what I read from the article, a bad decision, in my opinion, to increase the manpower of these individuals to be able to do their job or have the sufficient manpower to do the job. On the other hand, who's to say that the decision doesn't warrant a possibility for them having a backup plan to, even though it's only 4,000 people, as you was mentioning before, that the practitioners that are in other fields are brought in to kind of help and surplus what they was missing from people that they decreased.
I truly hope that we do, you know, if we're going to take over 2,000 people away, I hope that there is a backup plan in case, just in case, because we all know things don't just happen in one part of the world.
True.
You know, so if you send somebody, say, over to Europe and something happens somewhere else, then we have a problem. If you go to Europe, you send, like, I guess, what, 1,500 people over to Europe to handle or Asia or wherever on that side of town, on that side of the world to handle something. What if something happens, say, in South America that needs help?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if something happens? You know, I think we have quite a few great practitioners in the United States, so I think we're covered. But the thing is that we have a skeleton crew, basically, that's about to happen.
Exactly. Exactly. And the possible scenario that they're as the skeleton crew and all these epidemics or crises come up, we won't have the manpower to cover and be there to try to get information from those cases. Because this proposal is stretching the corpse thin to no means. So it's a fortunate decision. Nothing that I've read or seen so far has supported any follow to back, you know, the remaining individuals for this. And I think it does us an amazing disjustice and disservice in this decision.
Well, we can only keep watch and continue to hope and pray that this decision is not as drastically affected as we believe that it may be. We hope that in the future we get those over 2,000 back and then some because they're needed. So that's the next hot topic, which is a on fire hot topic, if you will. Roe v. Wade has been in the news lately big time because they're going with a decision to overturn Roe v. Wade.
Could you explain to the
So for those of you who don't know, Roe v. Wade was a decision to basically legalize abortion nationwide, and it was a great decision, in my personal opinion, and you guys can take it however you want. But in my decision, with all of the things that happened prior to this decision being legalized, there were a lot of women who had lost their lives by doing the back alley abortions, if you will. Back alley abortions doesn't necessarily mean that they were in a back alley. However, these women were going through different extremes to terminate pregnancies. i.e. using coat hangers and letting people do basically horrible things to them in order to terminate an unwanted pregnancy. Give us a call. Join the discussion. Area code 516-453-9934.
Well, in that, I have to say that I agree with you that abortion should be legalized. It should be the decision of the person or people, if the guy is involved in it, to make the decision for themselves on a case-by-case basis of if abortion is necessary for the individual. Now, you will have a lot of conservative pundits or pro-lifers that will say that the overturn of Roe versus Wade is going to be a good thing because of their such belief that conception, life is created through conception, and that to abort a child that's coming up is murder.
In looking at everything from a full aspect, when we think about children, okay, we're going to say children. So man and woman have sexual relations. She gets pregnant. And the question, are we going to have this baby? We're not going to have this baby. And a lot of times there is no question, point blank. There is no question. Some people, full steam ahead, we're going to have this baby. The various reasons why women decide to have an abortion, whether this was an unwanted pregnancy from a casual tryst, if you will, from a rape or anything of the sort.
Career.
Careers, whatever. The list goes on and on. But when I think about all these children that are ending up in foster care, and we know all too well because of our experience with the foster care system, when you think about all these children that are ending up in foster care for whatever reason that they ended up in foster care, the thought process would be that you make your mind up as to, at the beginning, whether or not is it beneficial to bring this child in the world. Are you capable of taking care of this child? And a lot of those questions, I feel, are not being asked a lot of times.
Well, I agree with that. I think that
personality.
Well, true. You have a lot of young folks kind of flexing their sexuality muscle and experimenting or voyaging in the rivers of sexuality, whatever. And in that question's not even brought up. That question's not even in mind because it's about the moment and the possibility of sexual gratification at that time with whoever or however many people you're with. Now, fortunately, there's a very small percentage of individuals, from what I've gathered, they talk with different people, who say that on their, well, not a small percentage of people that say that not on mind, the majority of people say that not on their mind as far as the consequences of their action. They're in the moment of having sex with whoever they want to have sex with. There's only a small percentage of those that do think about, well, hey, if I was to go ahead and participate in this, possibility of that could be I get pregnant. That's definitely something I don't want. I mean, that's definitely something I, at the time, don't want as a 17, 18, whatever, 20, young 20-something-year-old person. And that's acceptable. And I wish more people were in mind of that. Unfortunately, there are not. And due to that, piggyback off of what you're saying as far as the kids in the healthcare system now. Foster care system now. The last time it was checked was like 40,000 children plus.
I'm not sure of the count right now, but it's a great deal of children in the foster care system, and that is not including these children who have been separated through the immigration system, because they too have joined the foster care system because of what was done with separating them from their parents. I'm talking about the ones that are here in the United States and have ended up in the foster care system by whatever means. And like I said, it just goes back to that very first thought of, is this something I could do? Plus, you know, last night in reading, I was reading a lot of different things that happened on the labor and delivery units, different stories from different nurses and practitioners about basically these ladies who have had children and in some way, shape, or form may have cheated on their significant other, whether that's husband, boyfriend, whatever, and get a surprise during delivery. Whether that husband was deployed in the military, whether...
It all happened that way, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. Well, you know, you had husbands deployed in the military. You had moments where the woman stepped out. All of these different things. And this woman had decided to play let the dice roll, with one exception where both of the parents were black, the child came out white, and it turned out that the child was albino. That's the only one exception to that whole little scenario thing. But in thinking about all of that, as I said, the decision of whether or not you're going to have a child is your own. And or if you're in a relationship with a person, it is your decision on whether or not you're going to have that. I believe that if this decision to terminate a pregnancy is overturned, there is going to be a lot of back alley abortions coming back on the scene again. There's going to be a lot of women dying all over again, you know, and that is a sad state of affairs when we have the ability and the state of our, I mean, the main reason why we have the TEAS program is so that we don't have people going out there and having abortions or having babies and having the kids end up in foster care. That's why we created that program under H3P. But the fact that they want to overturn this decision, and because our current sitting president is for this overturn, and the fact that we're about to lose one of the chief justices who is in favor of Roe versus Wade, the writing is clearly on the wall, and it is getting really, really sad day by day.
I agree. For those that would support the decision, I still say to them, you know, if you disagree with abortion and feel that a young woman or a young couple, that get pregnant should carry the kids to term and take care of the kids, unless you're willing to invest in the 18 years of that child's life, you need to go ahead and back on up with all that. You can have your personal opinions all you want to. The fact that abortion is still murder in your eyes or can be, that's fine. I'm not going to dismiss you on that. I disagree. But the fact that, you know, you're not you or anyone else that believes in the fact of abortion being wrong. And let's say, for the example of a young lady being raped. In that view, then, she should carry that child to term, which is a psychological and physical toll on her in the first place. Are you going to be there to support her and her child for the next 18 years? I don't think so.
Well, as a product of a rape, I am here. My mom did not have an abortion, and I have experienced having an abortion. So, I did not, and I do not feel any malice whatsoever or guilt whatsoever from the decisions. Now, going back into me being born from the rape, my mom did want to have an abortion, and my grandmother stopped her.
Mm-hmm.
For me having an abortion, I decided that I had one child, and the father and I did not work out well. This will be our second child. He hadn't really supported the first, and I didn't see me having another child with this individual, no matter whatever our feelings were, because in the end, I knew I would be the person taking care of this
mm-hmm.
child, and I had one child. So I've been honest and forthright about it, and I have no shame about it. That was a decision. I don't regret that decision. I think that was a decision that was best for me at that time, and if I had to do it again, I would, because it was the best decision. Actually, if I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't have put myself in that situation to have to go through that extreme. But again, there's no do-overs in life. We learn and we go from that.
And from that, hopefully you make better decisions and whatever
it is. I think I did. I think I made some a lot better decisions after the fact. But that goes with being a grown up and taking responsibility for my actions. Now, before we go, I'll talk about what's been going on with H3P. It's been a minute since we have been on the air. In May, we attended some events. We got to be a part of the Melanin Moms event that they had. We got to be a part of the Eagle Pathways event that helps homeless youth. Well, not homeless youth aging out of foster care. So we got to be a part of that. We also are in the process right now of doing our event, which is a school supply giveaway that we're doing on July 14th, and it's going to be at Phoenix Barton Barr Library. And that's from 10 to 1 on July 14th. Right now, we currently have a fundraiser going on, and you can donate to us. And, you know, every little bit helps, and we're trying to give away at least 100 supply bags to the community, 100 or more. We said 100, but if we can get more, it would be so wonderful, and we are truly excited about this. This is our third one, and this is our very first one actually taking place in Arizona. We have managed to give school supplies out nationwide, actually, and this is the first one that we have centrally located in Arizona, so we're excited about that, to be able to give back to the community that we are a part of. So if you want to donate to the cause, you can go on our website, www.h3p.org. That's www.h3p.org. And donate. We're also on the Cash App, which is $H3P. And we're on a variety of different payments. I think we're on Bravo, and of course, we're on PayPal. So, but this event is truly one that is close to our heart, because we're trying to make sure that the 2019 school year starts out well for children in need. And a lot of times, wait till they go to school, but these bags are just to help them start off the school year. So anyway, this has been What's New with VHUs. I am your host, Vena Tennessee Hughes. Chris, thank you so much for joining us as usual.
Thank you for having me.
Gina, thank you so much. And everyone, have a great Saturday, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye.